Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down to the field. He's got through. 35-30.
Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com alongside Paul Dottino. I'm Lance Meadow. Good to be with you for the next 60 minutes as we'll get to a number of different topics related to the New York Giants. Still reacting to the NFL draft. Dan Shanka, general manager and scout for Our Lads NFL Scouting Services, will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. He'll be giving us his feel on who the Giants brought in, so we're certainly looking forward to that. And he was right on the money in terms of picking Eli Apple in the first round, so it'll be interesting to get his perspective moving forward on that. And we want to remind you that Big Blue Kickoff Live is brought to you by DraftKings, the daily fantasy sports destination. At DraftKings, you can play as often as you want with no season-long commitment. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code CONTACT to play for free today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports, free to play. 201-939-4513, that is the telephone number. You can also chime in via social media using hashtag Giants Chat. We're going to get to your phone calls and your tweets in the first half of the program before Dan joins us, so certainly feel free to chime in early. But before we get to the phone calls, Paul, you know, this is now an opportunity where you start to look at the roster and you look at the makeup of the roster, at least from the Giants' perspective, to determine, okay, you know, where do we feel like we've got a good amount of volume and numbers, and where maybe do we want to explore with undrafted free agency and even free agents that may be cut over the next few weeks?
Well, you know, it seems to me, Lance, as you looked at the Giants' needs going into the draft, they've only solved two of them. You can see that they obviously came up with defensive back help. That's really great. They still need some more, by the way. I mean, corner is certainly slight. But they've also got to deal with both sides of the line. I think that the Giants are still thin in the trenches, offensive line and defensive line. A consideration for me as I go forward into rookie minicamp, seeing what kind of free agents they might be able to still pull from outside. And then also in addition to that, again, June 1st is coming up. There are going to be cuts. There are going to be names out there. Who might still have some gas left in his tank that could help this franchise depth-wise? You know, the other day, and I can't remember if I said this on the show, Lance, so correct me if I didn't or remind me if I didn't, but I believe the number in recent memory is that 45 or so undrafted rookie free agents are going to make NFL rosters this year based on recent facts. I mean, these guys are sitting out there right now. They're waiting for phone calls. They're waiting for plane tickets to come into these rookie minicamps. And guys like Kerry Wynn, guys like Richie Soibert, these guys are looking for jobs. And some of these guys cannot just make rosters. They might actually be able to play in rotations. So don't discount what happens over the next few days as a place where the Giants may be able to get some help in these thin areas. And then, of course, we've got those June 1st cap cuts. And there are guys in the pro personnel department who are specifically spending time looking at everyone else's roster and saying, that guy could be a potential cap cut. That guy's a potential medical cap cut. That guy's got contract issues. That guy's unhappy with his front office and his coaching staff. He looks like he's going to be a problem. He could be set free or he could be trade bait. They've got people upstairs who have that crystal ball who are focusing in on people that they think could potentially become available from other people's rosters. And so, you know, I'll be honest with you, none of us at this level have the kind of information they have about those kinds of guys. Okay, let's make that very clear. So, you know, let's not even talk about that other than to say that it exists.
Absolutely. This is the part of the evaluation process, I think, when you get a better idea of where you want to go with your roster as opposed to before the draft, Paul, where you're waiting to see who you're going to bring in via your rookie class. And another name I would throw out, Wanyonga last year, too, you know, an undrafted rookie who winds up making the roster. So the Giants have a track record of at least giving those guys a legitimate shot to make the team. And that's something to certainly keep close tabs on with rookie minicamp coming up later this week. We appreciate those of you tuning in on Twitter, but you can continue to watch the program as you head over to Giants.com. Lance Medel, Paul Dottino here with you on Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. We're going to hear from Dan Shonk a little bit later on the program. He will give his grades and what he thinks of this Giants incoming rookie class. But in the meantime, we want to get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat. One other thing, though, that I do want to hit on, GM Jerry Reese was on WFAN yesterday, Paul, and he did mention that cornerback, based on them taking Eli Apple in round one, was an area, when you look at need, that they were at least honing in on when they looked at, okay, this is a position we certainly want to improve and bolster and add more depth in the draft.
You know, it was nice of Jerry to reveal that to Mike after the draft, because when we all talked to him during the pre-draft briefing, he went down the entire list. Oh, we could use some good cornerbacks. We could use some good linebackers and some defensive ends and offensive linemen and wide receivers and tight ends. He went down the entire list of every position in the NFL. And that's just the way things are when you go into the draft. But Jerry revealing to Mike Francesa yesterday, I think, if I'm not mistaken, did he use the word nervous? That he was nervous about the cornerback position? It was the one position on the team that was of real concern for him going in. I don't know if we have the quote actually in text.
I'm trying to see if I can find that.
Is it in text or is it just on the...
This is just on the summary of the WFAN website.
WFAN.com has the archive of the interview that both Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese did yesterday with Mike Francesa. Invite you to listen in to both of them because we can't get them here on our program, but you can certainly listen in to those interviews yesterday. And Jerry Reese did indicate there that cornerback was a significant area or the one of most concern for him going into the draft. And when you couple that with what their talent evaluation was and what their personality profile said, it makes even more sense why they drafted Eli Apple at number 10.
Well, here's an exact quote from Jerry Reese on The Fan. He said, quote, he was an easy pick when referring to Eli Apple, and it was a value pick, number one, because he's the highest player on our board, and was a need pick because we have two corners, and like I said during the draft, if you only have two corners, you are one corner short in this league. That's an exact quote from what he said in that interview. He also, in terms of describing the mindset of the board, said, quote, when somebody doesn't know what they're talking about, it's easy to depict it that way when they were talking about maybe perhaps it was a reach or some or so forth. And he said, we had our board stacked. We had went through this scenario many times, and we thought that was one of the possibilities that could happen. And our mind was clearly made up that we would be happy with Eli Apple as our pick as number 10, end quote.
Well, you know, the thing about it is Bob Papa joins us today.
Our
you know,
table is growing.
Yes. Well, let's see. Two Fordham guys and an NYU guy. I don't know what that says about you.
Who's the odd guy out, I guess. Yeah, there's the answer.
Oh, Fordham.
Bobby, we were just talking about both McAdoo and Reese talking to Francesa yesterday. And Jerry had said...
Francesa, he was on my SiriusXM NFL radio show.
Did he do that
yesterday
too?
Yesterday morning.
That's even better. Now, Jerry did admit post-draft that corner was the area of most concern for him, and Eli Apple fills that.
Oh, there's no question about it. If you think about it, guys, you know, even though they signed Janoris Jenkins, look, they have Trevin Wade as one of they have Tremaine Jacobs, and they have Leon McFadden on the roster right now.
And that's it.
So, and if you think about, you know, Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie sometimes comes off the field, whatever the case might be. Look at the league. It's a passing league. Most teams are in a three-receiver set to start with. You need three starting caliber corners in the NFL if you want to have a decent defense. That's why, you know, talk of the Giants even actively pursuing or meeting with, there are reports out there about some other guys that they're interested, makes a whole lot of sense. When you consider right now, if you count Eli Apple and the two incumbents, with Janoris Jenkins and Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie, I just gave you the names of the guys that would be the fourth corner if a game was to be played today.
That's thin. And, you know, Bobby, we've seen over the last four or five years.
In the NFL, too.
That position in particular has been very snake-bitten for the Giants. They've got a ton of guys hurt the last four or five years at corner in particular.
Yeah, and a lot of teams have had those issues because, you know, there's a lot of wear and tear on those players because, again, it's a passing league, so there's just a lot more plays that they're involved in. The more the merrier as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, plus I think it's also a response to where the Giants statistically finished last season, too, in terms of passing yards allowed. That's an area where you do want to bolster knowing you don't want to duplicate what happened last season.
Yeah, and the other thing that you have to think about is, you know, everything works in conjunction with each other. So when you have a really good pass rush, obviously it helps your cover guys. When you have really good cover guys, that helps your pass rush. And sometimes it doesn't all click at the same time. Sometimes you're going against an offensive line that, look, they scheme all week. They have Pro Bowl players on other teams. And sometimes you don't win all those battles. So you better have guys that can at least cover for those times when you're not getting that consistent pass rush and guys that can make plays on the football. And then it works vice versa.
We opened the show by talking about some of the thin spots on this roster still, and I still go to the trenches, Bob. I still think they could use depth at offensive line and defensive line, as well as at cornerback. Would you share that?
Well, yeah, clearly we've just discussed the cornerback situation, and I would think that there's this secondary and third wave of free agency that will happen. Now, of course, you know, you've seen some guys get cut already.
Yeah.
By teams around the NFL. And there'll be more guys that will get cut as we move deeper into this process with the off-season programs, the OTAs, and veteran minicamps. And then you get to training camp, and there'll be some guys that'll get cut around the league. And I think the Giants are going to always look to improve their roster, and they'll take a little wait-and-see approach as to how guys are progressing. Because let's not forget, there's a new offensive line coach here. There's a new philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Solari brings a different set of ideas. And maybe he's going to be able to get some of these guys to perform a little bit better than they had in the past. No knock on, you know, Coach Flaherty that was here. But there's a lot of different ways to get something done. And so I think offensive line is something that they'll continue to look at. And, of course, defensive line. I think that in those positions you can never have enough. And, again, what you're trying to do is strengthen the bottom of your roster, right? You know, you feel like you have your front line guys, but competition in that middle to bottom part of your roster is a hallmark of teams that are good, because you never know when a guy's going to have to come in and play more significant snaps.
And you know, Bobby, there are so many teams that are having cap issues right now. You got that June 1st deadline coming up for cap cut deals. And hey, I remember years ago when the Giants picked up Kavika Mitchell right at the beginning of training camp, right? He was a free agent veteran out there. He was a cap cut by the Chiefs. He turned out to be a big part of that 2007 Super Bowl team. So you can get useful guys over the summer that right now nobody has any inkling that they're going to be out there.
No, and I'm sure the Giants pro personnel guys are looking at, okay, what did these other teams do in the draft? Where do they now seem to have a logjam or an embarrassment of riches at certain positions that might match a need for the Giants, not now necessarily, but somewhere down the road. And then, you know, that's part of their job, is to keep an eye on how those guys perform during preseason. I mean, just remember, like 2007, the Giants had some hard decisions to make at the end of training camp because they had too many running backs.
Yeah.
And what happened? They wound up picking up a draft pick and trading Ryan Grant to the Green Bay Packers. So that is always an option, or, you know, then there's that stare down game of, we know you have too many. We don't want to give you this. We'll just wait for you to cut them. But if you're in a situation where you really feel it's a glaring need for you or something that you really need to help your football team, you might want to sacrifice the pick rather than have a guy get on the open market, which will then cost you more dollars.
You know, Paul brought up the offensive and defensive line, Bob, and I think a lot of people tend to overlook the fact Double O is essentially a part of this 2016 rookie class, considering he only played four games. So you essentially did really draft the defensive lineman that you're hoping has the impact of a rookie this year in the form of Double O.
Right. You want to see how he progresses now, obviously dealing with the injuries last year. You know, another guy, you know, I know fans were hot and heavy for the Giants to take a linebacker potentially in the first round. Didn't work out that way with the way it all unfolded. But, you know, we have to also remember Devon Kennard and what he did as a rookie. And last year, other than that interception he had against Buffalo, he dealt with injuries during the course of the year. You get back him back into the equation, and him growing as a player could be a valuable weapon for them defensively.
Yeah, I hope so. In fact, he's telling people that he's changed his off-season training regimen to specifically deal with the hamstring issues that really ruined his season last year.
Yeah, I mean, and he looks like he's in pretty good shape. I mean, you see him
always
walking
does,
around,
though.
You see him walking around, but he looks like he's
matured
a little bit.
He's cut.
And he looks like, you know, he's starting to fill out, which you see with a lot of these young players. They come in and they're still quote-unquote kids, and they haven't been in an NFL strength and conditioning program. And you see a tremendous maturation between a rookie year and a second year and a third year physically.
Well, I don't know how Bob's going to hear, but we do want to open up the phone lines.
I can take a question.
Take one or two?
Then I got to go because I got a really good Popper's perspective coming up today
on
Giants.com. Well, so, you know, when the Czar Nile puts it up,
we'll at least try to squeeze in then one call while we have you here, Bob. And certainly appreciate everybody for tuning in to Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Mike is in Virginia. Mike, what's happening?
Guys, how are y'all?
Hey, doing
guys,
well, Mike.
How are you guys?
We're doing well. What's on your mind, Mike?
Well, I was I really liked what the Giants did in the draft, but I even liked even more what Dallas did, just because they took Elliott over Ramsey, which was just an amazing thing. Like, I didn't think it was possible they would take a running back, but just not having to face Ramsey every year. This is a huge win for the Giants.
All right, let me get Bob's perspective on this because he does the NFL Serious Radio show during the mornings and gets a real good league-wide perspective. He's asking us about the Cowboys draft, Bobby, and he's wondering why they would pass on Ramsey, who was by far listed as the best defensive back in the draft, to take Ezekiel Elliott.
It's a topic that we discussed actually this morning on my Serious XM NFL Radio show with Todd Archer, who covers the Cowboys for ESPN Dallas. And it's a very intriguing question. I love the pick, and I don't like the pick for various reasons. Obviously, the guy is a tremendous talent, and with that offensive line, he could be explosive. But I thought, you know, the Cowboys last year, with Romo hurt most of the year and Dez Bryant, you know, in and out of the lineup with his injuries, you know, they only ran for 400 yards less than they ran the year before with DeMarco Murray.
They were ninth in rushing last season.
They were very good. So the way I looked at it is, if Romo, because remember, in 2014, the Cowboys were a questionable call, the correct call, but a weird sort of interpretation of winning the playoff game in Green Bay and playing in the NFC Championship. I mean, they were that good a team in 2014, and then injuries ravaged them. So when I look at the Ezekiel Elliott pick, here's where I'm torn from loving it and hating it. I hate it for the fact that you know that the clock is ticking on Romo, especially with the clavicle injury and the back, and you're only going to get so much time out of him. And if he can come back this year and is healthy, and Dez Bryant is healthy, to me, Alfred Morris, Darren McFadden, what he did last year, and then when they get Dunbar, you know, back and healthy, is more than enough with that offensive line.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah.
Now here's, so that's why I hate the pick. Here's the flip side of it, why I love the pick for the Cowboys. If Romo can't stay healthy and he has another clavicle injury and it looks like the end is imminent, what better player to have when you're going to be transitioning to a young quarterback, whether it's next year or the year after, than to have a stud, three-down, game-breaking back behind that offensive line where you know your passing game is not going to be anything like it is with Romo.
I'm really
torn. I can't rip them because it looks like they're planning for the future. But if you want to look at the immediate right now, I thought it was a luxury pick where Ramsey would have been much more of a pick that they could have used immediately. And then, obviously, with Jalen Smith, you're taking a guy in the second round who's probably not going to play a snap this year.
You know, though, Bob, with their thin defensive line, they took, obviously, Smith thinking that their doctor knows a lot about Jalen Smith's knee. So they think that they're going to get something out of him down the line, but that's a risk. And then they didn't really go for anybody till Tapper a couple of rounds later. So to me, I don't even know if you or I could line up for defensive end for them opening day against the Giants. They're really thin. That defense is really, really thin.
Yeah, with the four-game suspensions, and in fact, Todd Archer, who covers the Cowboys down in Dallas and is around the team all the time, we asked him that question. I say, oh, well, who's going to be the defensive line on opening day?
Too Tall Jones.
And he can only give me two names.
Well, because everybody's suspended.
He only can give me two names. So it's a really interesting draft that they had, at least at the top, because when you look long-term for the franchise, I think it was a really good couple picks, if Smith can play, and obviously what Elliott brings. But for the immediate right now, I thought they had some more glaring needs, and I thought Jalen Ramsey would have been a perfect fit for him.
Well, and I think that based on how the second round played out, Bob, you can make the argument if they did want that young running back, you could have taken Ramsey in the first round, and then you could have gotten Derrick Henry in round two.
Yeah, but a good running back.
They could have done it in that order.
But I think that Ezekiel Elliott
is special.
I agree with you. He's special.
And again, I'm looking at it down the road, depending on Tony's health, and if God forbid, you know, for Romo's sake, that he really winds up, the injuries just keep mounting and he can't stay on the field, Well, Ezekiel Elliott will give them a home run threat with that offensive line that's going to be around for quite some time.
That
is
true.
He's going to be under a rookie contract, which doesn't hurt, too, from a financial standpoint.
Guys, it's been a pleasure.
You got to run?
Yes.
Yeah, I got to get going. But, again, Giants.com later today. We're going to have that good Popper's perspective about draft grades.
Very nice.
Good. So everybody should stay tuned for that. Bob, we appreciate you stopping by.
Pleasure to be here.
And by the way, should I also promo Dan Shaka from Our Lads coming up in just a couple minutes? Bobby, he actually had Eli Apple pegged to the Giants as his selection a couple of weeks ago. How about that?
Well, it's not a bad thought when you think about the corner situation.
Yeah, he was right on it. We talked about Eli, but he had him.
And there were some other teams that were very interested, had the Giants not taken him.
Yeah.
All these people saying they should have dropped back and they could have gotten him much late. Not so. That is not a given fact.
He was a legit value there.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Bobby. Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks.
Be good.
Bob Papa joining us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. We will continue to take more of your phone calls as we move towards the bottom of the hour when, as Paul mentioned, Dan Shaka will be joining us, and he will certainly give his perspective on this draft class.
You know, the one thing that I find very interesting about all of this in terms of what happened during this draft is that I looked at the ratings. And for some reason, the ratings actually went down for the NFL draft this year in terms of NFL Network and ESPN. I thought it was one of the most compelling drafts that I have covered in recent years, maybe even a decade.
Well, in terms of players dropping, multiple storylines, injuries.
The storylines were incredible.
Had that soap opera feel.
It really did. Plus, with the volatility of all the trades that were going on, too. I thought this was one of the most energized, entertaining, exciting drama-filled drafts that I can remember in so many years, and yet I guess the TV ratings didn't show that.
Well, but when you say TV ratings, I haven't looked at the numbers, so that's why I'm curious. Is that the entire draft, or is that just one round?
Because the first round, I believe it was.
The first round even dipped.
They said the first round dipped significantly from the last couple of years, and guys, I don't know. Maybe it's because the Giants picked so high at number 10 that I was much more in tune to what was going on early in the draft. I can't answer why the numbers went down, but to me, I know this draft exhausted me. I mean, I was so invested.
Every draft, I think, exhausts you, Paul. I don't really know if we can sit here and rank them, to be honest with you, with all you have in the archives. But, I mean, I understand where you're coming from. You know, the only thing I can think of, you pretty much knew two quarterbacks were going to go for the most part, first and second. So, you know, maybe that took a little bit of the mystery away, considering we pretty much knew it was going to be Goff or Wentz or Wentz or Goff. That could have been one factor.
Maybe.
But listen, there's fans of all fan bases. You're anxious to know who your team's going to take. But I don't know how they monitor the ratings and so forth, what factors they take into consideration. I'm sure, look, if we did it by state or by region, I'm sure the numbers stayed steady in certain regions of the country.
I will tell you this. It's a far cry from when I was in grammar school and then in middle school and so forth and so on and running to the payphone in school to put the little coins in to find out the next five picks on Sports Phone. King Wally for Sports Phone. Here are the next five picks on the NFL draft.
You're dating yourself now.
That was the only way to do it. When I was growing up, that was it. You had no other choice. You were calling Sports Phone to get the draft picks.
Well, times have changed now, clearly.
Clearly.
Yes.
Now, and you know what?
I don't think you could survive, though, in that mode, in this day and age.
Right now?
Yes.
No.
With having to pick up a phone to find out who the picks were.
No.
No. I cannot see you surviving like that.
No. I would have had to walk to Chicago so I could get all the picks.
You'd still be arriving at right now.
But here's what I will say. One thing, and maybe I answered my own question about the dip. Maybe so many people are now internet.
It's possible.
And maybe even their phones and their apps.
They've got 75 different things that they could turn to find out.
They can get the instant picks in so many different ways that maybe they don't have to watch the television anymore.
You can get your phone, you get the alerts,
you know
who's going.
You can even watch the shows on your phone now.
You can stream them, yeah. So the technology.
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
And that's why I think that maybe TV ratings, you need to at least break it down and say to yourself with the mixture of technology and websites and so forth, maybe TV ratings is not necessarily the sole dictator of how successful a program is.
You work at Sirius like Bobby does, and you tell me if there was not an incredible amount of storylines going into this week.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, talking all weekend, on the weekend, while the draft was going on. I mean, there were tons of national storylines.
Yeah.
Absolutely. All right, let's open up the phone lines here again. I want to get to a few more calls before Dan Shaka joins us. Greg is in Virginia. Greg, what's happening?
Hey. Hey, fellas, how you doing?
Doing well, Greg. How's things with you?
Good. Been man, lines have been packed the past couple of days. I finally got through. Hey, so are the predictions still on the wall right beside you?
They are a number of predictions, yes. Were you one of them?
I don't know if I can read John's handwriting of all of them, but go ahead.
Well, I do have a prediction from a Greg here. I don't know if this is you. Is that safe to say it's you?
Floyd will be gone before the Giants.
That's it.
Yes, Floyd off the board.
Between Jack or Bosa?
Yes, correct. That is you.
Nailed it. And that was well before the microfracture thing came out on Jack. I gotta give myself props.
Well, I don't have a date on this, but we'll be willing to pat you on the back.
Wait a minute. You had the Giants picking Jack or Bosa?
No, he predicted that Floyd would be off the board
by
the time the Giants selected, which he was right.
I got you.
And then you said what, Jack or – I can't read Schmelk's handwriting.
Bosa on the board.
Okay.
Floyd would be drafted before the Giants could take him, and then I said
right.
We would have either the opportunity to draft Jack or both.
And that's correct. Jack was still there.
No, Jack was taken by Tennessee. He was off the board. No, I'm sorry, not Jack. I'm thinking
second
of Conklin.
Round.
I'm sorry, I'm thinking of Conklin's first name. Never mind. Yes, you're right. Jack was still there, and that was a possibility. Correct. Yeah.
But aside from that, I'm really happy with the draft. I will admit I threw a fit after the first pick, but, you know, the more I thought about it and, looked at the whole situation, it makes complete sense, and I think Reese and company did really well in rounds 2 through 6. I think we have the opportunity to have some contributors year one, and I just really like what they did, and time will tell, but I'm pretty pumped about a number of the players we brought in. Shepherd and Perkins, I think, are going to be really nice. Shepherd probably more year one, but I think Perkins, I think he could be a nice kick returner and a change of pace back potentially this year. But I think next year he'll prove to have been a steal.
Well, I'll say this. I think that Perkins, who averaged like 6 yards a carry in his career at UCLA, has two consecutive, 1,300 and 1,500-yard seasons to his credit, has a very impressive resume. Production is there for sure in a good conference. He's got quicks. For me, he's going to have to strengthen up. That's the big key for me. He's going to have to add some strength and maturity as he gets to the next level. But I agree with you. He is dynamic. He's got a very strong skill set. And I think he could be a good player in this league. The question is right now, how do the Giants fit him in as a rookie? He may wind up sitting the whole season if he makes the 53. And as you say, potentially next year even become more a part of the offense.
Well, and Greg, I think you hit on an interesting point, which I have been trying to sell to the fan base more often than not, is that the draft is not just about 2016.
Yeah.
You know, the draft is also about the next few years down the road.
Although it'd be nice to get impact now.
Without a doubt.
Fans are impatient as well.
Without a doubt, that's true. But I think you need to say to yourself that you're also thinking about building the depth for years to come as guys have contracts that expire and you may not be able to re-sign them because of how the salary cap plays out. Sometimes your fifth and sixth rounders, may not show their true colors until year two or year three.
I will say this, caller. Is it Greg?
It's Greg.
I will say this, Greg. Perkins, according to everyone I've talked to since the draft, clearly has a make-it grade, and most people thought value-wise he could have gone a whole round earlier for sure. So the Giants picked up a good guy here.
Give him a second or a third.
Second or third might be a tad high, but again, you must remember, running backs got depressed in this draft anyway. Because there were so many good defensive players being taken, a lot of your offensive players got pushed down. Maybe in another year, he might have been that high. But this draft was so full of defensive talent.
Yeah, most of the running backs went in like the fourth and the fifth round, other than Henry and Elliott.
Exactly.
And Greg, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in here. Want to try to get to a few more here before we have our interview. And you can continue to give us a ring at 201-939-4513. John is on Staten Island. John, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing today?
Hi, John.
Two guys that I've heard the Giants link to in the last couple of days, Leon Hall and Matt Slauson. Just want to get your guys' opinion on what kind of players you think these guys are and how do you see them fitting in if the Giants did go ahead and sign them?
Okay, which one do you want?
Well, in terms of, well, I think he wants both, I'm assuming.
No, he wants both. I was asking
who I want.
Who do you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, it doesn't really make a difference which one. Yeah.
Me personally, I'm more interested in Matt Slauson only because, you know, we just drafted Eli Apple. So, you know, I don't really see a fit really for Leon Hall.
Oh, there's a fit for him. This defense needs some more help at corner. We just talked to Papa about it. They absolutely, positively need more corner depth. Don't kid yourself. Please don't. It would be a mistake to go in with what they have.
Well, and he's an established veteran. The first thing I just want to preface our statements, John, is, you know, anything that's out there is pure media speculation. Nothing is official in terms of the Giants meeting with anybody, talking with anybody, or so forth. But I understand there are media reports out there. In terms of Slauson, the reason why he came up is because the Bears just let him go with Antrell Roll. Both of those guys were let go simultaneously. So that's why you're probably hearing about Slauson. He's your typical veteran offensive lineman who's mainly been a guard throughout the course of his career. Correct, left guard, though, as I mentioned, he has played a little center in his career, too, but guard
on
the left side.
Not relevant for this equation.
Correct, because they already settled with Weston Richburg and so forth. So, you know, if you were to look at him, if you were to think about where you'd put him into the equation, it would be as a guard. Now, I wouldn't rule out the right side, Paul, even though he has played on the left side. That's up to him. That's up to the player whether or not he wants to experiment and is open
and it's up to
being spotted there.
If they think he can do it.
If they think he'll be a good fit there. But I just would not rule that out. In terms of his flexibility and so forth.
He's also a better pass protector than he is a run blocker. Keep that in mind.
Absolutely. And it also depends on, once again, you know, as Bob brought up earlier, there's a new offensive line coach here. And I think it's important to highlight that because when a new coach comes in, you know, most of these young guys who may have not had an opportunity to show their true colors, they get a fresh start because now they have to impress a completely new coach, specifically in the classroom at their position. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody's all of a sudden going to amaze out of nowhere, but the way Solari could view these guys is much different than the way Pat Flaherty can view them. And it's not a knock on any of the teaching that went on previously. It's just he's coming with a whole new mindset. He doesn't know these guys as well as Pat Flaherty knew them. So when we're quick to dismiss maybe somebody is on the roster, I wouldn't go that far because Solari may look and have a way to put them into the equation much different than anybody else who was on the coaching staff previously.
No, that's a great point, Lance, and it's so easy to ignore that, and you're right to make us pause for a second. Now, as far as Hall's concerned, all I would say is this. Lance reminded me he had two Achilles injuries in the last 4 years. He's coming off of disc surgery, which the Bengals have talked about, and that's one of the reasons why they weren't real anxious to bring him back. He's 31 years old. He's been in the league for almost a decade. He's a quality player. He's a slot corner. I think the first thing you have to determine if you're an NFL team is, do you believe the guy is healthy enough to give you 16 games? Now, he played with a bad disc for 15 games last year, apparently took some painkillers and shots, and it affected his play, but he tried to gut it out. I think once you find out medically if he's a go and you reasonably believe he can give you the 16 games, then you sit down, you start talking turkey with him. But I think the medical thing has to be taken care of first, and that's why if you're interested in a player like that, you give him a physical before you start talking about, well, can we fit him under the cap? What's the number we want? How much do we want to risk money-wise? What kind of duration are we talking about? What kind of role does he have? A lot of questions have to be asked after you clear that medical hurdle.
And, John, listen, we got to let you go. We do appreciate the phone call. We have a special guest on the line here, but thanks so much for chiming in. And as Paul pointed out, you have to do your due diligence. There's no crime in exploring and looking at free agents. Well, speaking of putting rosters together, we are now joined by a man who has plenty of experience in doing that, former NFL scout. He runs Our Lads NFL Scouting Personnel. He's the GM and he's the scout there, and he certainly chimed in on this program prior in terms of where the Giants may go, and we now want to hear from him in terms of reviewing who the Giants selected, and that is Dan Shanka. Dan, Lance Metal, Paul Dottino here with you on Giants.com, Big Blue Kickoff Live. Appreciate the time. How's everything?
Great. You know, it's kind of fun to see where all these guys landed after studying them for a year, and then the juniors. So, you know, half the juniors we studied for a year. The other half were surprised as they came out. So I had to do some crash course there and you know, since January. But anyway, no, it was a lot of fun.
Now, Dan, we had probably, I don't know, was it 3 weeks or almost a month's worth of NFL draft gurus on each and every day on Big Blue Kickoff Live. You, my friend, are the only one who came on our show and said the Giants will select Eli Apple with the 10th pick in the draft. Now, I know everybody has a number of mock drafts as they get closer to the draft, and occasionally they will change them, and they'll have to make adjustments because of trades or information comes out about a player. But I want to make it very clear, on our show, you did pick Eli Apple for the Giants, and that makes you a winner here.
Well, I tell you what, now he's a guy that, you know, he was one of our top three corners, and, you know, I was visiting with some secondary coaches, I don't know, probably 3 weeks ago or a month ago, wherever it was, and they're all asking me about Apple, you know, and I told them I just thought he was a real raw talent because they liked him too, you know, and they were, but like I said, he was one of those guys that came out, you know, and mid-January. So now you got to put together a book on the guy, and you know, he's a very talented player. And the Giants, God bless them, are trying to get to secondary. There was so many injuries, unbelievable amount of injuries over the last 5 years or so in that secondary. It's just like, I mean, I'm also going to put Apple in bubble wrap when he walks out there, you know. But anyway, thank you. And, I'm glad he landed the Giants because he's a very talented guy.
Well, let me ask you this, Dan. He's going to wind up playing probably 60-65% of the snaps as the Giants go into their three-corner, you know, sub-package formation. Mm-hmm. In your mind, We've asked the Giants about this, and they're going to let it play out. Would you start him on the outside when they come in with their nickel package and move Jenkins to the inside because, A, it's probably easier for Apple to stay outside, and, B, because Jenkins, being a little bit smaller, would be better suited to the slot? Or would you just throw Apple into that slot spot? He claims that he's played some of that at Ohio State, and the Giants claim they think physically he can handle it.
Yeah, well, what I would do, kind of what you just said, I think Jenkins, because of his experience in the league, and he's played some nickel, and, you know, he's used to playing against some slot, smaller guys, certainly in practice. They had over in St. Louis when he was there, of course, now Los Angeles, but they had a lot of those little quick guys, you know, that Jenkins got work with. So I would stick Jenkins probably in the nickel. And like you said, or like the Giants said, it's got to kind of play out because you see the guys in practice to see how they fit. But, yeah, I'd stick Apple on the outside and then and let Jenkins go inside.
Dan, in terms of your experience being an NFL scout, I'm curious because one of the things that's been thrown out in the wake of the Giants selecting Eli Apple is the importance of having three reliable corners in this day and age on an NFL roster. Now, you've seen the game evolve. How much does the evolution of the game and how often we see the schematics and the personnel on the field influence how a war room is set up and how you go about making selections in the draft?
Major, because there's no question about it. You've got to have at least three corners. I mean, you know, 70% of the time there's three wides on the field. I mean, just when you look at the starting lineups, for instance, pregame and things like that. Hey, teams are putting their three wides out even in pregame, you know, and that sheet when they release it to the league. So, you know, you got to have at least three, and then you got your dime package. That's why those linebackers like Miles Jack, for instance, it was so valuable if he's healthy. I mean, hey, he doesn't come off the field. You got linebackers and cover people. You stick him in the slot and things like that. So you got to have as many guys, whether it's a linebacker or those three corners, ready. You got to be able to play the run. And then the other thing teams are doing, you got the big nickel safety, which is your hybrid, you know, your hybrid linebacker, strong safety that can also line up in the slot and play tight ends and things like that. So it's your combination, your sub-packages that have to be coordinated, but there's absolutely no question you got to have three corners, you know, three really good corners, and then your war room is set up. You've got your edge rushers. Now, you'd have your let's say on the defensive side, you'd have your right ends, your left ends, your tackles, your under tackles, your outside, rush linebackers, you know, if you're a 3-4 scheme, but you have everything set up all across there. But now you better have a long line for corners and things like that. Cause you got your slot corner, then you got your outside corner. So Yeah, it is. Your board is set up a little bit differently.
Now, Dan, let me ask you, Dan Shanka from Our Lads Guides, once again, joining us here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. The Giants' third-day picks, you know, when you start getting past, you get fourth, fifth, sixth rounds, that's all they had. They didn't have a seventh. They had traded that pick previously in the year for Brad Wing the year ago. You're talking about Goodson, you're talking about Perkins, and you're talking about Adams. Can you give us a sample as to what you thought about their make-it grades to be NFL players and then what type of impact you think they might be able to have on this team?
Well, I tell you, Goodson was a guy that, of course, he played behind last year, Stephon, that, you know, ended up going down to the Saints and doing really well. But he came in, he rotated and things, but now this was his year, his senior year, and he really did an excellent job. Very good downhill guy, instinctive. Hey, the Giants need some help on the inside. You know, Keenan Robinson was picked up, you know, through the free agency and things like that. Jasper Brinkley just been – everybody keeps trying to get rid of him and replace him, but he's like, you know, an old coin. He's, you know, showing up, and he's a good special team guy. But anyway, Goodson's a guy that's going to make a move for the roster spot for Brinkley, and then, and how Robinson does in there. And then but he's a good football player. He's very instinctive, not bad in coverage. Like I said, he's a one-year full-time starter, but he does have experience. So, he's going to have to learn the NFL game, but he has got a lot of talent. And good-sized guy. Going to Paul Perkins, we really love Paul. And I think we might have been one of the, top ones out there that loved him because, you like the 220-pound backs, and he's not that. But what he gets through the seams, like smoke through a keyhole. He just, boom, he gets
like
through
that.
There, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he can hop cut, which a lot of guys can't do. He's got great running instincts. He's got great feel. He's, our only knock on him, he's not 220 pounds. I mean, but he catches the ball really well. He gets up the field. He's got, he's not afraid. And the other thing why I like those 220-pound backs is because pass protection. But he's not afraid to pass pro. He'll stick his face in that thing, but you have to remember he's 200 pounds.
Exactly.
Too, so
that's stronger.
The only sticky, that's sticky wicket with him. Other than that, I want to tell you something. He's productive. He catches the ball. He's a good football player. He can run. He's explosive. I mean, he's all that stuff. So he's going to make a great third down back and a change of pace guy.
And Adams, the last guy, the tight end taken in the sixth round.
I tell you, he actually put on a lot of weight from college, and when he goes to Senior Bowl, and he put on some weight there around 244, something like that. I tell you, the guy's got a lot of talent. The only thing I'm just concerned about him because, I vetted him quite. We wanted to bring him in to the East West. I helped select the East West teams, and he had like three different, he had invitations to Senior Bowl and stuff like that. He was kind of dragging his feet trying to. I mean, I wondered if he took care of business, and when you get in the NFL, you got to be able to do that. You got to, get on top of stuff right now and get it taken care of, and don't dally wag around, So, but he's on the field now. The kid is, he's got a lot of talent. He's, and if it kind of fits the profile, because when the Giants took him, you look over their tight ends and the Donnell kid, the tight, and all, they're all kind of, like in that same profile, Adams has got to block better. He's got to get stronger, more core strength. He's got to learn to block, but he can line up in that slot because he can run. He runs, 4.65, 4.62, somewhere in there. So, and he's got that, he's got good length to him. I think it's a good pick, certainly at the sixth round, and he's got to bulk up a little bit. It just depends what the Giants want to do with him. If they, but he's still got to get stronger. He got to get stronger and put some more good weight on. And he put on 8 to 10 pounds from college to the. It was even from. I want to say in the spring of his junior year, he was like 233, and things like that. So he put on about at least 11 to, you know, 15 pounds so far, and, you know, and maintained his speed. So he might be able to put on some more good weight. Mm.
In terms of some of the Giants' higher picks, in the third round, they took Darian Thompson, the safety out of Boise State. And, you know, the Giants have a very young nucleus of safeties on this roster right now. So, you know, here's a player, Dan. He could come in, and he has a legitimate shot to win a starting job. Where do you see his strength as a safety? Center field, up on the line of scrimmage? You know, where would his ideal position be within that safety range?
He's got to play up closer to the box. He's not a real good down the field. I mean, in their division, the Mountain West, they saw a lot of that, and he was okay there, but down the field. But in the NFL, with all the speed receivers and things like that, I don't know that he can make that overlap over the top of corners. So I would see him being stronger to the line of scrimmage because he does have very good instincts. Now, I mean, he breaks on the ball well. You know, he's set a record out there in interceptions.
Yeah.
And he's very, very good ball skills, very good instincts. The only thing he really lacks is that track speed. But, you know, my feeling is a guy with great instincts can make up for, you know, a tenth or two in running if they've got really good instincts. And he's got very good instincts. And he can't worry about making a kill shot all the time either. He's got to go ahead and you got to make that tackle, get up there and wrap him up, you know. But, no, he's a good football player because he's instinctive and he's football smart.
And we know from when we had you on the draft show on Friday night that you're a big big Sterling Shepard fan, so I'm not even going to have you go through 20 minutes on how great you love him because I know you're a big fan of him. And everybody else seems to be as well. Let me ask you this, Dan. With the rookie class that the Giants have just brought in, and I know everybody's impatient and they all want immediate impact, and at least two or three of these guys look like they will give them some immediate impact as rookies. You're familiar with the roster. You're certainly familiar with these prospects. Where else do the Giants need to fortify as they look to the undrafted rookie free agents or maybe even some veterans who might come free? Where's this roster thin for you as the Giants approach the season?
Well, I think I was really surprised there wasn't any offensive linemen drafted. You know, I think there's got to be some fortification there, certainly at right tackle. I think I talked before on the show about my great respect for Mike Solar, the offensive line coach.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, he'll be moving those guys around and getting the best fix possible. But the right side of that line's got to be fortified at guard and at right tackle. Loved Richburg, the center, outstanding. Loved Pugh. The Flowers, I think he's really going to be a good one. Come on, and especially with Mike coaching him. Mike, like I said, has been around him a lot, different places, and he's really, really good. So,
hey, Dan, where did you have Bobby Hart? Where did you have Bobby Hart when he came out of Florida State last year, seventh round? Excuse me for stopping you, but I want you to address him for a second because a lot of folks around here, and me included, think he's going to challenge for a starting job. Myself and David Deal like him better at right guard to challenge John's jury. But the way you talk about Solari, maybe they can make him a tackle. What do you see in Bobby Hart?
No, well, in fact, I know Bobby quite well because, again, I got him in the East-West game last year, and so I studied him very closely. That whole offensive line, you know, was really good at Florida State. So I studied, and Bobby was, you know, in that mix there. He played right tackle there. My feeling is he's got to have to be a guard. I just don't think he's got that, you know, quickness to kick step, get depth, and, you know, hey, the speed rushers you see, I mean, people have no idea, you know, how those guys, with the speed they come off and they double move you and they come underneath you. I don't think Bobby reacts that quick, but inside where, you know, you're getting some of the more bull rush guys, or even in twist, he could pick up a twist okay on the inside. But I would see him being more a guard than I would a tackle.
Good stuff.
Well, Dan, we greatly appreciate the insight and the time. Thanks so much. I mean, you really shared a lot on this incoming class as well as what Bobby Hart potentially could bring to the table in training camp. Thanks so much again for joining us, Dan.
Dan, great to talk to you again.
You guys.
All right, Dan Shanka. former NFL scout, and he now runs Our Lads NFL Scouting. He's the general manager and also head scout for that agency, which certainly provides a lot of good intel.
Well, you know, I love the fact that he's so tight with Mike Solari and was able to give us a couple of weeks ago when he was on some intel in terms of Solari, who has a tremendous amount of respect around the league. And don't get me wrong, I love Flats when he was here myself. But sometimes, you know, different guys, different pieces, they see different things. And maybe, like you said, just what, 10 minutes ago, Mike Solari will be able to bring something out of some of these guys that maybe we haven't even seen yet. I'm real curious to see what happens as the Giants bring in their undrafted fellas this week. I don't expect that offensive line, although Richie Seibert was an offensive lineman, I don't necessarily expect you're going to find a diamond in the rough among that cluster of players. Usually you're going to find more skill position guys, corners, running backs, safeties, wide receivers. Those guys tend to be a little bit more fertile in that grouping, but I'm looking forward to this.
Absolutely, and for the sake of the numbers game, remember the roster has to go to 90. It wouldn't surprise me if they may find an offensive lineman or two and give them an invite to camp just for the sake of competition.
Well, Jerry Reese did tell Mike Francesa yesterday that they had agreed, and of course you still have physicals pending and so forth and so on, but they had agreed, I believe, to around a dozen or so undrafted rookie free agents that they were really looking forward to bringing in.
Which is also what Mark Ross had indicated, too, in his final press conference, saying it's probably going to be a little bit more than previous years just because, you know, we have to fill out the roster and so forth. On the coaching staff topic, and as we close out the show, feel free to give us a ring here at 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. We'll get to some calls and tweets as we finish up here. It reminded me of a comment that Steve Spagnuolo said when he addressed the media right here in the offseason, and he talked about, because he was asked, Paul, you know, there's a lot of new faces on his coaching staff now. You know, it's not the same guys that he worked with here in his second stint year one, and he mentioned, you know, what's the dynamics like? And he said, you know, one of the things I love about getting new guys in the mix is just hearing their perspective. Sometimes they'll bring something completely different to the table.
Yes.
And I never looked at it that way. They may see a linebacker on film and say, maybe if we move him over slightly this way, or we use him in this scheme. So, you know, Spags welcome that.
Yes.
So that's why I'm bringing up what perhaps someone like Mike Solari could bring to the table. It's not that the Giants weren't thinking in that direction. It's just you got a different lens now. You have somebody else who hasn't been working with these players. He's got a fresh perspective. He comes in and he may see potential, or maybe moving a guy this way versus that way, and maybe something could click.
You know, I'll give you a great example, and you folks would not know it because this is not someone who's been on the field a lot, but Ryan Nassib, when he came to the Giants as a rookie out of Syracuse, he was working under Kevin Gilbride behind Eli Manning, which meant he was never going to play. I get that. Ryan did not have a good training camp. He did not really have a good season on the practice field. He struggled. And it was because, you know, Gilbride's system was a lot different than what he had operated with at Syracuse. And he was, you know, a rookie coming into the NFL. And it was a pretty big, you know, jump for him. Well, what happened? In year two, maturity, familiarity, the switch now to Ben McAdoo's offense, which was much more akin to what he was doing at Syracuse. And what happens? All of a sudden, Ryan Nassib makes the biggest jump of anybody on that roster. Of course, you guys, if you weren't at training camp, you didn't see it. But if you got to watch the preseason games and got to watch him at practice every week, what you saw was a guy who the Giants now have great confidence in. Not that they didn't before, but they certainly have it now, that he is a bona fide, legitimate, good, solid number two quarterback in this league. And they have felt that way as he continues to develop under Coach McAdoo. So sometimes, as you say, it's just a different brand that comes in and, okay, wow, it's a big hit. You know, sometimes you change the gas in your car and the engine doesn't ping anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
It just happens.
Better feel for the car or something. So, I mean, that's something new to at least look at heading into this offseason versus last year when there was obviously a carryover with the coaching staff. You have now some new faces, some new voices. You never know what that means for the sake of the personnel groupings on this team. Remember, fans, Big Blue Kickoff Live brought to you by DraftKings. Now, if you've never played on DraftKings, it's changing the way we play fantasy sports. Pick your contest, pick your players. If you win, pick up your cash. Simple as that. Go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code Contact to claim your free entry today. DraftKings Fantasy Sports free to play. All right, let's get to some tweets here before we wrap up the program. Mark at Lista Mark, what do the Giants do now with all of these running backs? Well, there are a number of running backs in the mix, and we did talk about that a little bit yesterday with now Paul Perkins being thrown in. Remember, Bobby Rainey was a late addition as a free agent. and this is conversations that, Paul, you and I have had both on the air and off the air. It's going to be interesting to see how these battles develop, but the guys that clearly are going to have a leg up are the ones that are multifaceted, bring one thing versus two things versus three things to the table, meaning if you could play special teams, if you could run in between the tackles and outside, you could catch the football, you know, you have greater value to the roster versus yes. somebody that is mainly just an inside runner or somebody that is not necessarily looked at as a special teams contributor. So, you know, those are the things that are going to separate from one another once training camp starts and veteran mini camp gets underway to see, you know, who we separate the men from the boys and so forth.
You know, I'm interested to see if Paul Perkins is able to handle some kickoff return duties. That would really give him an extra
Absolutely.
Advantage over some of the other backs he's going to be fighting with. He has terrific quicks. I mean, you just heard Dan Shaka talk about it. Rick Serratella from the NFL Draft Bible talked about it yesterday. You could see it on tape, fellas. You don't need to just take my word for it. Look at it. Look at the film. He is fast. He accelerates, he slashes, he finds small holes, and boom, he's right through them. He's a very electrifying player. And as you know, it's not unusual for running backs to be kickoff returners. Not punt returners, but
Michael
kickoff
Cox,
returners.
For example, who was a late-round pick, he was mainly a return guy.
And you know, out of UMass, and that really solidified him getting a chance to make this team. And, in fact, he did. I'm going to be interested because I don't see anything in his bio that indicates he did do any kickoff returns while he was at UCLA. He was a track star at one point, so that makes a lot of sense. I'm curious to see if he can handle those things. I think they may give him a look to see if he can do it. And if he can, it just enhances his value.
Well, in addition to that, Paul, let me throw out another thing. Aside from maybe his upside as a return man, I would say coverage-wise, too, is going to be important. Because, see, Orleans Darkwa, if you were to ask me about this entire running back group, Orleans Darkwa, the one thing I'll say about him versus the other guys, I could throw him out there on my coverage team.
Don't forget Rashad Jennings on punt block.
No, true. But I guess what I'm saying is Darkwa, to me, stood out last year, and one of the reasons why he made a name for himself,
right.
Because remember, he was low on the depth chart.
Yes.
He wasn't getting, you know, X amount of carries until really that Cowboys game,
yeah.
Which was his coming out party. His value was, he's going to be active because we're going to put him out on coverage.
Yes.
So that, I think, is important to see if maybe some of these other running backs can be utilized in those scenarios. Now, as Dan just mentioned, you know, Perkins needs to bulk up a little bit, I think, too. So that may come with age and experience, whether or not he can contribute. But that gives you a leg up if you could be on the coverage team.
You know, if the Giants don't find enough depth at wide receiver, or Victor Cruz can't make it back as well as we all hope, then you got to worry about, again, Dwayne Harris becoming more of a wide receiver than a kick returner. And then that means they are going to need somebody. Last year was Reuben Randall, who had to wind up returning yeah. punts because they needed to get Dwayne Harris off of special teams.
But Harris is all four. That's
Harris
something
does
that
everything.
Can't be overlooked.
So what happens is if the receiving spot starts to get a little weak. Now you got to rob Peter to pay Paul, and Harris has to go shifting over there more, and now you better have somebody else on the roster who can handle some of these special teams duties, which is why, I think if Paul Perkins shows, if they give him a shot and he shows that he can return kicks, much like Michael Cox did, it's another way for him to make the team.
Same thing with a guy like Bobby Rainey. One of the reasons why
Bobby
you
Rainey.
Bring somebody in like
yes.
him because of his experience.
He's a bona fide kick
teams.
Returner.
And I think you brought up an important point. If you want to be full force, you want your skill set players maybe not to be exhausted on every single team this year. So, you know, based on how the wide receiver competition plays out, Dwayne Harris proved he can be a reliable number three wide receiver. So if you want to continue to give him opportunities, do you want to then have him still play all four special teams? You know, that's something that may come up in the conversation, which means, hey, if we know Paul Perkins, our fifth-round pick, he could come in and he could give us perhaps what Dwayne Harris brings to the table. Then maybe you feel good about giving other players opportunities on special teams.
You know, the bottom line is when you're a team that isn't set, you know, some of these teams that have been contenders, they look at the roster, they say maybe there's room for four or five guys to shuffle at the bottom of the roster. It may be a little different. But when you're the Giants and you're still in that retooling phase where you could have as many as, I don't know, 12, 15 guys that are changing on this roster. We're not just talking about the six draft picks now. We're talking about another half a dozen free agents. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you know, you've overturned at least a quarter, if not a third of your roster from last season. I mean, you need to make sure that you do you do everything you can to maximize the value of each one of these guys.
And that will be certainly a big part of the conversation in the weeks upcoming. We certainly appreciate everybody for tuning in today. Thanks to Dan for weighing in terms of what the prospects are going to be all about that are being brought into the mix for the New York Giants. And thanks to Bob Papa for also stopping in. Look out for his Papa perspective, which will be posted on Giants.com later today. We'll be back up and running all week long here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Each and every weekday at noon, we are going to continue to hear from some experts who will weigh in on the Giants draft class, and we're also working on maybe trying to hear from some of the position coaches from the colleges that these guys played at, too, to provide even further insight of what they'll bring to the table. For Paul Dottino, I'm Lance Meadow. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. We'll speak to you tomorrow right here on Giants.com.